The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. Feel free to get more food. Just don't burp or throw things at me while you're... Thanks, man. I love Sunday, Easter Sunday. Love Resurrection Day. Because without this day, none of us need to be here. Let's open up with a word of prayer and see what God has in store for us today. Father, thanks. God, we love you. You're so good to us. I pray that you'll open our hearts to hear from you today. That we will realize that you not only saved us, you hold us. Thanks, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. Title for today's message is Held. You got your Bible, turn to Matthew 28. If not, it'll be here on the PowerPoint. Matthew 28. There it is. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. Remember what I have told you." Friday night during a Good Friday service, and by the way, if you haven't heard Jeremiah's message from Friday, I really encourage you to check it out on YouTube. But in our Good Friday service, Jeremiah said, Jesus stayed in the garden. He stayed during the beating and the scourging, and he stayed on the cross. And because Jesus stayed through all of that, we live. But I'm happy to tell you, there's one place he wouldn't stay. That was the grave. He said, you know, I've had my fill of this. Time to go. Easter, though, is not just about an empty tomb. It's about a finished work. We get so caught up in all the trappings of Easter, you know, like, Easter egg hunts. Remember when you were a kid, you got your Easter clothes for church? And woe be unto you if you got them messed up. Because my mom's hand of fellowship was heavy. But it's more than about all that. It's about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, we see pictures of Jesus on the cross, but I guess because the tomb... You know, a big hole in an empty tomb doesn't look as cool. But the cross doesn't mean anything without the empty tomb. Easter's about a Savior who didn't just try to save us. He secured our salvation. Some people treat Easter like a reminder. Like, oh, it's that time of year. Yeah, I guess I better go to church. We used to call them twofers because they come to church twice a year. Christmas Sunday and Easter Sunday. And you know what? If that's you, hey, glad you're here. We do this every Sunday, though. And we'd like to see you like every Sunday. It's just, I don't know if you're aware of that. We don't always have all the food here, but we got stuff. Easter isn't a reminder. It's a receipt. The receipt says, paid in full. I want to look today at two very powerful truths. First of all, Christ paid for our past. I love this. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you think you are. Christ paid for your past. But He holds our future. Two things that encompass your whole life, your past and your future. So let's talk about the past. The cross paid for your past. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So think about the worst time in your life, the worst time when you were sinning and far from God. Christ had already paid the price for you. He's just waiting for you to show up and pick up the receipt. And I've talked to people who say, well, you know, Jerry, I'd love to come to church, but I really need to get my life together before I come to church. No, that's stupid. You don't clean up before you get in the bathtub. I was in college. We used to do, during finals week, they would do mud football. I loved mud football. Hit a guy and he slides, you know, and you get up and nobody could tell. After like the second or third play, you can't tell what shirts or anything. We're just hitting each other and having a blast. But then it came time to go clean up, and they didn't want us to tromp mud into the dorms, so they hosed us off with a fire hose. Not super enjoyable. That's the only time I've ever had to clean up to go take a shower. And I wouldn't have done it except the fact they didn't want me to get mud all over their carpet. Jesus saw every sin, every failure, every regret, and he still said, I'll go to the cross and I'll take it. Think about your life. Every sin, every regret, every failure you've ever had, Jesus said, yeah, I know. I'll take it. It's mine. That means it's your worst mistake didn't surprise him. Your past didn't cancel his plan. And the cross is proof that God already knew and he chose to love you anyway. I got news for you. Some of you, if you knew me very well, might not love me. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. And you know what? That's fine. I love you. But God loves us warts and all. He looked at us as sinful, degraded people who were hurting, who were lost, who had no hope. And he said, you know what? I can fix this. I have hope for this. In fact, before they ever think about needing me, I'm going to forgive them by sending my son to die for them. Some people live like God has a limited forgiveness plan. But Jesus didn't die on a payment plan or a contract. He said, it is finished. I told you a couple of weeks ago, that word there in Greek for it is finished means completed, overcome, paid in full. It is finished. All the pain, all the suffering, all the hurting that you're going through is already paid for. Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. You don't need to keep going. You don't need to keep hurting. It's finished. It's paid for. And the resurrection proves it worked. Matthew 27:50. Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the city of Jerusalem, appeared to many people. If you don't know much about the Bible, and that's okay. The curtain they're talking about is the one that separated the rest of the temple from the Holy of Holies. You couldn't go in there unless you were a priest or a high priest. And the priest that went in there would tie a rope around their waist and have a bell on it. And if you went into the Holy of Holies and you died, nobody could like go in and give you mouth to mouth or anything. They just had to pull your dead body out. That's what the rope was for. Jesus died on the cross, and that curtain was torn in half. And the curtain, by the way, is about a foot thick. It was torn in half. Why? We didn't need it anymore. Jesus died for us. He died for our sins. He's going to rise up again. He's going to rise in 3 days. We don't need to go into the Holy of Holies. We don't need to go have somebody go in and tell God about our sins. We can go directly to the Father and say, hey, God, I messed up. Let's talk. And by the way, you can talk to God that way. He understands English. We get these ideas of, yea, most heavenly Father, I wouldest that thou wouldst incline thine ear to me. Hallelujah. It's shut up. It's like going into NASA with a paper airplane and saying, hey, look, check this out. You never seen something like this before, have you? Oh, you're good. Get out. You don't have to impress God. You just got to be open to him. If the cross is the payment, the resurrection is the receipt stamped accepted. Jesus said, you have a new relationship with God because I paid for your sins. We don't have to kill goats or sheep. We don't have to make sacrifices. We go to God because Jesus was our final sacrifice. He paid it all. Can you imagine if you had to like bring a dove or something to be sacrificed today? Well, we can't really forgive your sins, but here, go kill this dove and then sprinkle his blood around. And no, church would be really, really weird. Some of you be like happy. You love the sheep. I don't want you to die. My brother raised a sheep in high school for 4-H, and he hated it. The sheep kicked him and bit him and stuff. So when they were going to put the sheep away to be sold them at auction, Tim looked at it and said, I'm glad they're going to kill you. Tim said, I didn't. I'm just reporting the news. So there might be a few sheep like that. But for the most part, nobody wants to do that. But we don't have to because Jesus paid it all for us. When Jesus rode, he declared that sin is forgiven. Debt is canceled. The door is open. Anyone who wants to come to the Father can come to the Father. Look again at Romans 5:8. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I love this. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of a globe. They're round. And no matter how far east you go, there's still a lot of west. No matter how far west you go, there's still a lot of east. And God has said, you know what? I forgive you your sins. They're gone. They're gone. Quit struggling with them. There have been times in my life where I think, I think about a sin I did, years ago or something stupid I did, which really isn't, that's not a high hurdle for me to carry, because, all right, I've been pretty stupid sometimes. And it starts beating me about the head. You can't be a pastor. How dare you get up and preach in front of a bunch of people? You can't even get your own life together. Blah, 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 blah. That is not God. That's the devil trying to kick me around the ballpark. My receipt says paid in full. All I have to do in those times is say, yeah, you're right. Every one of those things is right. I did those things, and yes, I was and continue to be stupid. But Jesus paid for me. That empty tomb paid my debt in full. God doesn't bring up in your life what he's already buried. So, you need to quit doing it too. Have you made mistakes? One honest person in the room. The rest of you are like, I have, but I don't want him to point at me. Yeah, we make mistakes. We mess up. We sin. But we're forgiven. God doesn't bring up what he's already buried. Quit beating yourself over the head and quit letting the devil beat you over the head with stuff that's buried in the blood of Jesus and is cast as far from God as the east is from the west. Christ keeps what he saves. John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. I like that. No one can snatch them away from me. You ever have any? How many of you have little brothers or sisters? You ever play the, ooh, I got you, I got this, you can't get it, and you hold it above their head, and they're, then you start crying for your mom, and you give it to them? Because tormenting is fun, but I don't want a spanking. Jesus has this in the palm of his hands, and he says, nobody can take this from me. Here's Jerry Gotze. If it's me, it's probably held a whole little lower because I'm heavier. Here's Jerry Gotze. No one can take him away from me. Nothing is able to pull him away from me. You're not holding on to him. He's holding on to you. I hear people say, I'm just holding on to Jesus. No, you're not. He's holding on to you. And we need to learn to rest in that. Oh, I got problems going on. Great. God's holding on to you. If I have something in my hand and you really want it, and I hold it precious, how hard do you think it's going to be for you to get it away from me? I'm not going to give it easily. I'm going to fight you. I'll offer you free dental work. But God, the omnipotent, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, holds us in his hands and he says, nobody can take this away. The same hands that were pierced on the cross are holding you right now. Our security is not in our grip on him, but his grip on us. And sometimes we wander away from God. And we think, well, maybe that's it. Maybe just wander too far from him. How big do you think his hands are? Nobody can take them from me. The enemy will whisper lies, but Easter declares. The devil comes up and says, that's the way I think he talks. But Easter says, nope, paid for. Paid in full. Go away. Like when the bill collector comes to your door. You're late on your rent. Yeah, it's already paid. Paid for, washed clean, still held. The cross proves his love. The empty tomb proves his power. And his promise proves that he won't let you go. Stop carrying what Jesus has already carried. Your heart's hurting this morning. You're missing something. Quit carrying what God's already carried for you. Start living forgiven, free, and held in Christ. Are you going to mess up? Yes. I say that as a serial messer-upper. I made up that term. Feel free to use it. But all the way I know God is holding me. During the 50s and 60s, Charles Templeton preached to crowds of 10,000 to 30,000 people nightly as an evangelist with Billy Graham. Templeton even helped establish Youth for Christ International. I told Jeremiah I was going to talk about him. But somewhere along the line, Templeton got disillusioned. He lost his faith in Christ. He became an agnostic, left his faith behind. In 1996, Charles Templeton published his book, Farewell to God, My Reasons for Rejecting the Christian Faith. Wow, you talk about opposite ends of the spectrum, huh? While writing the book, The Case for Faith, which if you haven't read it, by all means, pick up a copy by Lee Strobel. Any of the Lee Strobel books are tremendous. But The Case for Faith, Lee Strobel was given a chance to interview Templeton. Templeton by now was quite aged. During the course of their conversation, Charles Templeton vigorously defended his disavowal of God and his rejection of the Bible. He was set in his ways. There's no apparent chink in the armor. He knew that he was right. But then, Strobel directed Templeton's attention to Christ. How would he now assess Jesus at this stage of his life? You walked away from your faith. You've walked away from Christianity, wrote a book on how you disavow it. What about Jesus? Strobel says that, amazingly, Templeton's body language softened. His voice took on a melancholy and reflective tone, and then, incredibly, he said, he was the greatest human being who has ever lived. He was a moral genius. His ethical sense was unique. He was the intrinsically wisest person that I've ever encountered in my life or in my reading. His commitment was 2 times total and led to his own death, much to the detriment of the world. Strobel quietly commented, "You sound like you really care about him." "Well, yes," Temple acknowledged, "he's the most important thing in my life." Strobel was stunned. He listened in shock. He says that Templeton's voice began to crack. Templeton then said, "I miss him." With that, the old man burst into tears. With a shaking frame, he wept bitterly. Finally, Templeton gained control of his emotions and wiped away the tears. "Enough of that," he said as he waved his hand, as if to suggest there would be no more questions along that line. Templeton died in 2001 after a slow decline fighting with Alzheimer's. Nobody here. Strobel doesn't know. I don't know. You don't know. Or the Templeton ever came home to Jesus. But I know you can. Right here. Right now. Yeah, the miles you've spent away from home are long. But God's reach is greater. His love is greater than any sin you have in your life. Some of you are sitting here right now and you're hearing that voice saying, "Come home. It's time. You spent too much time on your own, too much time hurting, too much time being battered about. Come home. Your sins are forgiven. You can be restored. Come home." This is what Easter is all about. This is why we're here. It's not for breakfast. Not to hear worship, even though Victor's great at worship. It's not to do that. Not to listen to me speak, for sure. But you're here because that empty tomb is your road home. That empty tomb is how you get to where Jesus is. You may have let go of him at times, but he's never let go of you. if you've never known Jesus? Are you in for a treat? In a minute, we're going to pray. And you don't have to be fancy. You don't have to know all the right words. In fact, there are no right words. You know what the right words are? They're here. God, I've been away a while. I love you. I want you to be my Savior. Maybe you've walked away from home. Like the prodigal son, you've gone far away and you found yourself feeding pigs and thinking, you know, the pig food doesn't look half bad. Come home. And you know what the prayer for you is? Same. Jesus, I accept you. I love you, God. I want to follow you. It's a very simple first step that leads to the journey of a lifetime that leads to heaven. You can't beat that. Let's pray. Father, thanks. God, you're so good to us. I don't know how or why you sacrificed your son for me or anybody in this room, but you did. Thanks for that. And God, it's been easy for us to kind of walk away from those, from that commitment. It's been easy for us to kind of say, you know, I did my time, but there's always that emptiness, that void that only you can fill, God. Father, fill us today. Heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just there, sitting there in your seat. Just say, you know what, God? I want to come home. I want to come home. And we have all kinds of resources available for you to help you with that once you've made that decision. But it all starts, everything in your life starts with that one decision. God, I want to come home. Would you pray that right now? God, I want to come home. Tired of doing it on my own. Tired of twisting in the wind. God, I want to come home. Father, I know there are hearts that are being spoken to right now. You're doing something great. God, work in us. Keep whispering to us. Come home. Come home. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father, I ask that you will bless every heart in this room. There may be some who aren't quite ready for that commitment yet. God, send your Holy Spirit to work in them, touch their heart, to work in them, God. Thanks. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in the people in this room. For lives that are going to be changed, for homes that will be transformed. Because of your love. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Listen, you want to talk? Jeremiah and I, we're ready to talk with you. You want to pray? We'll pray with you. Don't put this off. Okay? Today's the day. Come home. Love you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress till